Hello and welcome to a very special Quantum Leap as we go behind the scenes at Met Aaron to learn something of the science of meteorology and to find out how this evening's weather forecast is produced. We're at Glasnevin at the headquarters of Met Aaron, just up the hill from the Botanic Gardens north of Dublin City. This is the Meteorological Service and it's housed in something of a landmark building. It's shaped like a pyramid and all clad in stone. And in a few minutes we're going to go upstairs to the Nerve Centre where meteorologists work round the clock monitoring weather data that's coming in from satellites, weather stations in and around Ireland, also from marine buoys in the sea. But first, to learn a little bit about the history of weather forecasting and Ireland's important contributions to weather forecasts, as well as the history of the Met Service in Ireland, I'm joined by Evelyn Cusack, one of the Met Aaron team and a familiar voice from weather forecasts. Evelyn, for centuries, people would have looked to the skies to see what weather was coming for them or towards them. So rules of thumb like the old one of red sky at night, shepherd's delight. At what point does weather forecasting become more of a science than that kind of an art?
Well, Mary, it all began on October the 8th, 1860, when the first live weather report was transmitted from Valentia Island. This was prompted by a massive storm off Ireland in 1859, when over 400 people were drowned. And Admiral Robert Fitzroy set up this new weather network, 40 stations, and Valentia was the prime one receiving the weather, first of all, from the Atlantic.
How was the weather information transmitted?
By the brand new electric telegraph. So really, it's that was the beginning of modern meteorology as we know it.
And what is it about telegraphy? Is it that with a telegraphic message that someone can actually send you information about weather that's headed for you faster than you can see it coming yourself?
It led Fitzroy to envisage really the first ever weather chart, which would be a description of the weather really right around the globe at one time, instantaneous information. And without this, without knowing the initial conditions of a weather setup, there's no way you can ever hope to forecast. So it really produced the first weather chart. So very exciting times there.
And that was 1860 and yes. Ireland playing a key role in that. Now that service was obviously done for the British Admiralty and the Navy. And what stage do we start getting public forecasts?
Well, it's very interesting. This led in 1867 to the setup of the British Meteorological Service, and its head was Robert Fitzroy. Then in 1892, Valentia Observatory moved across the Sound to Carrigrohane, but because it had become so famous internationally, it has retained the name Valentia. The Irish Meteorological Service was set up in 1936 and it took over from the British Meteorological Service, but there was still a lot of British staff while, if you like, we trained our own. And there were some very famous British meteorologists who worked at the newly set up Foynes in County Limerick, and two major meteorologists from the British Met Service worked in Foynes, Lamb and Davies. So really you could say the Irish Met Service was primarily set up to service the aviation industry. So
because of course the Foynes Airport was the Shannon Airport, the original Shannon Airport.
The original Shannon Airport for the flying boat service over to America.
For the whole of Europe, not
for the whole of Europe, yes. That's a major point because obviously fueling was a primary problem in those days.
And was aviation a driving force for the development of this very young Met Service in Ireland?
Yes, soon after we had Met offices at Baldonnell and at Dublin Airport. And by 1941, you could say we were fully staffed by Irish trained Met Office personnel.
Now, one of the very early public weather forecasts was one that Fitzroy did in the early 1860s that was published in the London Times. And if people have access to the London Times archives, they can actually go in and see those early weather forecasts. What about the first radio forecasts from the Irish Met Service? When does that kind of thing begin?
Well, again, that's very interesting. The first forecast on Irish radio from the Irish Met Service was in 1948. Well, you had the war, so there would have been an embargo on all public forecasting. And in fact, the forecasts for the flying boats, etc., had to be sent in encrypted form. And that was the same way right across Europe. The meteorological information was censored. So 1948, the first weather forecast from the Irish Met Service on Radio Éireann. Previous to that, it actually came from London.
Okay.
So then we move on to the first forecast in daily newspapers. That was in 1952. And then we move ahead to 1957, when you're the first international geophysical year. And that's when Valencia started taking ozone measurements. So that's very interesting indeed. And in fact, the previous few years to that, you know, the nuclear testing, the atomic testing in America at Valencia Station, we began taking radioactive measurements. So we're going way back 60 years, these measurements. And in fact, it's a primary contributor to our knowledge of climate change at the moment and how the atmosphere is changing, these very important measurements from Valencia.
So it's much more than just rainfall, wind speed
Absolutely.
And sunshine.
Yes, yes. 1962, the first TV weather forecast, immediately after the station started. And of course, we're still going strong.
Excellent. And on that note, probably Evelyn Cusack, thank you, because I know that you have to head off and prepare your forecast for later this evening. And meanwhile, we're going to go upstairs now to the nerve centre of Met Éireann and the central forecast office. Well, I'm now in the Central Area Forecast Office, or CAFO, C-A-F-O, as they call it here. It's the nerve centre, or the scientific hub here of the Met surface. And it's home to about 20 meteorologists who work round the clock monitoring weather information and producing the weather forecasts. And the main duty forecaster today is Michael Cleary, a name that will be familiar to listeners. Michael, what is it that happens here? Because this is a room bristling with computers and satellite pictures.
Yes, Mary. Well, we're responsible for issuing all the forecasts for Ireland. We have four people on duty today. I came on duty at 8 o'clock this morning, relieving the person who was here during the night. So basically, there's someone here all the time, 365 days of the year. Now, today, I'm here. There's a few other colleagues here as well. We have Siobhan Ryan, Michael McAuliffe, and Harm Lawkes. And they're doing various things. Harm, for instance, is doing the weather for the RTE television forecast this morning. He's sending over graphics as well as a script as well.
And he's sitting at a desk that has not one, not two, not three, not four, but possibly even five computer screens.
Yeah.
All with weather data and graphics
he's
on
he's
them.
He's looking at them all, yeah. We have various things, satellite pictures, radars. He can get computer output as well on all those screens. He also has a screen with the graphics from the that'll be on the television in a little while. And he has his script as well. That's all sent over electronically over to Donnybrook from here in Glasnevin.
So he's doing television scripting and graphics. What are your colleagues here doing at this desk?
Well,
again,
Michael and Siobhan are working on the long-range forecast at the moment. We have a lot of customers that need forecasts for a week ahead so they can do various planning. So that's what they're doing. I'm, as the duty forecaster, more concerned with the short term, the rest of today and tomorrow, tonight and tomorrow. I issue forecasts, the short ones that are read out after the news headlines on RTE every hour. Those short forecasts are updated every 3 hours. I do a longer one then around midday. I'll be appearing later on Ronan Collins doing a live broadcast with the Sea Area as well. And basically that's what I do. Now, as well as that, what I said Michael was doing, those long-range forecasts, he's also responsible for the road ice forecasting. This is a forecast we do every day. We send out information to the local authorities.
And we'll get to talk to Michael about that later on.
Yeah.
But let's go back to your desk and see what it is that you do for producing a forecast. And where do all the data and the information come from for you? I mean, what are your different sources?
Yeah, that's a good point, because before we issue a forecast at all, we have to know what it's like at the moment. Well, basically, we have a few different ways. One time, basically, this is all we had. We had these reports from our own Met stations around the country. We have 16 of those in Ireland.
And you have a map of Ireland now.
A map of Ireland when I had...
And a lot of data on
it,
points,
yeah.
Symbols.
Yeah. Symbols,
I presume
yeah.
you can read that.
I can read that, yeah.
Okay.
Basically, it gives temperature, wind, cloud. Now, they come in every hour. And there was a time, really, that's about all you had. Now, we have other sources as well. We have satellite pictures and radars. Now, there's a satellite picture in front of me there that you can see. It's updating every quarter of an hour. It's a high-resolution, visible satellite picture.
And that's showing me cloud cover over Ireland?
It is, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
It's actually quite cloudy out there at the moment, is it?
It is. Compared to recent days where you had sort of a lot of sunshine, there's a bit more cloud around today. So there's a slight change taking place in the weather, but nothing too dramatic in the short term, but we're watching that. But as you can see, beside that we have... it's basically a blank screen at the moment, but that's a map of Ireland which if there was any rain around, would show up as a, you know, it's a radar picture, but there's nothing happening at the moment. But like, if there was rain around, we could actually see it on that radar. In fact, we have a radar down further that's showing a bit of Scotland. You can see rain over Scotland there. That's a bigger map, okay, with yeah. Ireland and England and Scotland and Wales.
Oh,
and
bless you can your see eyesight, Michael, because you're pointing to the far
yeah,
end of the room.
But we can maybe get down closer later on. But okay. Basically, there's rain, but it's very far north. There will be a few drops of rain today, possibly up over Ulster, but nothing too significant.
So you're going to sit down now and produce a forecast. What is it you're actually doing? How will you be taking in the data? What do you do with it?
We have a lot of information that comes from computer models as well. And we'll be looking at that. I'll also be looking at the forecast that went out during the night, because they're a good guide. Like, continuity is another thing, you know, as well. The person on before me picked up a lot during the night, so I'll be following that. I'll be adjusting it slightly, if necessary, and issuing it then in various formats, you know, trying to basically give the information to the public, you know, without being too complicated or too long. You know.
Okay, well, we'll leave you to pull that data together so that you get a picture of what the weather's doing. And meanwhile, I want to go and talk then to Michael McAuliffe, because I want to hear more about the road ice and this unusual map of Ireland I see on a computer screen across the room. Michael, here for the moment. Thank you.
Okay.
I think that's my cue, isn't it?
It is, Michael McAuliffe. Come and show me this... this unusual roadmap of Ireland that I see here on the screen, because I didn't expect to see a roadmap of Ireland in here. What is this system?
There are various parts in it. First of all, at about 50 or 60 sites around the country, there are roadside automatic weather stations which feed data into us of, for instance, temperature and wind, and also the state of the road and the temperature of the road surface itself.
So there are actually sensors monitoring the temperature of road surfaces?
Yes, and in fact... Okay. Many listeners may have, listeners I'm sure have passed by them without realising perhaps what they are, because they're all sited on the main roads, because our contract is with the National Roads Authority. So for instance, if you're familiar with the road from Cork to Dublin, at the crest of the hill between Fermoy and Mitchelstown on the left there, there's one on the side of the road. There's one right in the village of Horse and Jockey on the same road. There's, let me think.
Okay, there'll be people looking out for these now and tomorrow, yes, yeah.
You'll all, I'm sure, have passed one at one stage without realising what it is, but that's what they are.
And it's feeding this data into you
yes.
here. How do you use the data?
We use it primarily to monitor how conditions are behaving on the roads, both particularly with respect to potentially dangerous situations on winter nights, but they're also useful in general forecasting at times. And we also use it as the starting point for the computer model that provides the forecast information for the local authorities.
And that would allow them to call out the gritters if you think
yes.
they're going to be forecasting
yeah.
a frosty
yeah.
night.
With this information as a starting point, we then input the forecast information of various weather parameters such as temperature, wind, cloud cover, whether it'll be wet or dry. All that goes into the model with the actual starting information from these sites. The model runs then and provides a forecast of the road surface temperature for each one of these sites in the form of a continuous curve, plus the road, of which that's an example,
okay.
and also of this forecast state of the road, whether it be dry or wet, or whether there might be ice or frost, and that goes out to the customers then, the local authorities.
And you've just pulled up graphs. Is this
yes.
for one particular place for,
yes.
for last night or
this
the last 24
indeed.
Hours?
This is yes, exactly, the last 24 hours for Loughrea in County Galway, and I think the site is actually somewhere between Loughrea and Ballinasloe. I'm not actually familiar where precisely it is, but again, that's another one to look out for. We have various lines here, and what they're showing is dotted lines in various colours showing what we forecast yesterday for, in this case, road surface temperature. The blue one is air temperature and the purple is the dew point. So the dotted forecast is there. Mm-hmm. And this is the actual information from the sensors
the
for that time.
The temperature there is hitting 36 degrees. That's the
That's
surface
the
of the road.
Yes. Oh, on a sunny day this time of the year, the road heats up very quickly. As you know, surfaces like that will heat up quickly in strong sunshine. And that is true. The surface temperature of the road yesterday afternoon in the bright sunshine would have been in the high 30s, perhaps even 40. Getting it close to 50 on a summer's day.
And then fell to a minimum overnight
yes.
of about 10
in
degrees.
In this case,
or
it was
there.
Just over, yes, between 8 and 10. The air temperature, actually, if you notice here, fell lower. It fell to about just over 4. And on a clear, still night in the winter, obviously, these conditions would possibly cause danger. Certainly the road would get a lot colder, but because of all this fine weather and the heat that's stored in the ground, given this given situation at this time of the year isn't really of concern. You can see the road stayed quite much higher than that.
Acting really almost as a kind of a storage heater.
Indeed,
in a sense.
Yes, yeah.
So, yeah. Is frost likely in April? I mean, you're obviously running this at the moment.
Yes, the contract is to run up to the end of April. It's extremely unlikely that there are problems on the roads in April. However, once in a while you can get a freak cold snap or snow is not unheard of in April. And if you were to get that kind of situation, you could have problems on the road from snow lying or from icy conditions or slush. But it's extremely rare. And indeed, in much of the current fine spell, you'll have heard us talking about frost at night. That is true, and there have been quite low temperatures at times. But at this time of the year, you will, because of the heat in the ground, that storage heater effect on roads will not be the same as in winter. The frost at this time of the year is obviously much more of a concern for gardeners and farmers and so on, because over grass and away from hard surfaces, the temperatures, you know, at the top of the ground are still as bad as they might be. So when you hear frost in the forecast, it's not really, at this time of the year, it's not really a concern for the roads or for icy windscreens or anything like that.
Michael, this is obviously a winter service, although I know you say that you run it up until April for the road conditions. But you also do other seasonal forecasts. I'm thinking of in summer for kind of sunscreen index. What other kinds of ones do you do?
Well, the forecast service for providing the pollen count is the other big one that we do in the summer. We don't actually forecast the amounts of pollen ourselves. What we do is we provide the weather input to other people who then put that into a model they have and can calculate how much pollen there will be depending on the weather information we've given them. So we don't actually calculate, as I say, the pollen count ourselves, but we provide it. They relay the information back to us, so we disseminate it, you know, through various media here, but we don't actually do the sums ourselves, if you like, and we're not experts on different types of pollen and so on, you know.
No, but it's a very useful service, I can say, as someone who has hay fever.
Oh,
yes,
indeed, yeah.
What about maritime?
Well, that is a big part of our work as well. Obviously, being an island, you know, wind forecasts for fishermen and people at sea have always been an important thing for us, and that's ongoing. But specifically as well, we monitor and forecast wave heights around the country.
Would that be of use for fish farmers?
Yes, but also to the extent that we have oil and gas platforms off the coast, that can be important for them at times. Also, local authorities around the coast, if waves are expected to be unusually high or if certain combinations of bad weather in the winter, such as low pressure, heavy rain, strong winds, and also pre-existing high sea, that can also occasionally combine to give very bad coastal flooding. So we need to keep tabs on wave heights for that reason, and also generally if seas are going to be rough on ferry crossings, for instance.
Okay, a tremendous range of services, Michael.
Indeed.
McAuliffe, thank you very much. And of course, one of the summer services that Met Éireann provides is the potato blight warning for farmers and growers. And that's not the only agricultural service. They've recently been developing a whole suite of new services for events that are affected by the weather. And one of the first that they've developed is for slurry spreading. It's a computer-based service that takes account of the weather forecasts, and it helps farmers decide when to spread slurry. It was developed by meteorologist Seamus Walsh, working with researchers in Chagask. Now, Seamus is out of the office this week, so we came in and spoke to him at Easter about his new service, and I began by asking him what was the link between slurry and weather.
Well, the connection really is when it comes to spreading the slurry. Slurry can't be spread on ground which is wet, because if you get overland flow, you get nutrients flowing into rivers. So what's critical is, firstly, that the soil is dry enough to allow machinery work on the soil, but more importantly is that there can't be any excess rainfall in the next 48 hours after you spread, because this would entail the slurry running off into river courses.
So it's about how much rainfall there has been in the past, presumably, and that would determine how waterlogged the soil is to some extent, but also what you expect to come in the future, is that it?
Yes, it's a mixture of both past weather and future weather. So it's a nice mix of how we have measured rainfall and the amount of rainfall which we forecast in the future. So there's a mix of past and present together. And we have, you know, developed what we think is a decision support system which will aid farmers in making a decision as to whether or not they will be able to spread in the future days.
And how does your decision support system, as you call it, how does it take account of water logging? Is it purely on the amount of rainfall, or do you actually have meters stuck into the soil?
No, we don't actually have meters stuck into the soil as such. But what we do is we measure rainfall at various locations around the country. We also measure how much water evaporates or transpires, called evapotranspiration, together, And if we subtract the evapotranspiration, what evaporates from the amount of rain which fell, we have a very good idea of the moisture levels in the soil. That's called a soil moisture deficit. And if the soil has a lack of water, it means that the land is safe for vehicles to use, so it's trafficable. It also means that if there's a deficit of water, it means that there's no overland flow of water, so the nutrients are more likely to stay on the soil surface and work down over the following few days, as long as no rainfall falls after the slurry has been spread.
It's quite sophisticated. You're taking into account quite a lot more things than I presume someone can do just by going out and standing in their field. You've put it up on the computer screen for us here. We have a map of Ireland. How is it working? And these red and green lights.
Well, we developed this really an interface to work quite simply. If you just look at a map of Ireland, you've a mouse, you point at your location, you click.
You're clicking on.
And click on a map of Ireland, somewhere in the Midlands, okay. Yes. And you can see here that in the top right-hand corner we have a screen which has different soil types, but also the days ahead. And there's a flag. A red flag means it's unsafe to spread. A green flag means it's probably safe to spread. That means that for today, the soil is not allowing any overland flow, but also over the following few days, 3 or 4 days in fact, there is no rainfall which would create a situation which would allow the nutrients to run off into watercourses. So you can see in this particular case, today it means it is safe to spread, but tomorrow it's not. Now that means that for today and the following 3 days, there's no excess rainfall forecast, but tomorrow is a red flag. This means that probably on day three ahead, there's some rainfall forecast, which means that tomorrow would not be a safe day to spread.
Okay, so it's a very simple red-green, in a sense.
Yes.
Red means don't
yes.
spread, and there's a lot of this particular set of data is saying a lot of red, but a couple of green flags, and I see you've different soil types, well-drained, moderately drained, but poorly drained, getting no green flag for this set of weather. How much notice can farmers get, then, if they want to think about when they might spread?
Yeah, but sure, if you look at the picture we have up on the screen at the moment, what this means is we have today, tomorrow, the following day and the next day. So there are 4 days ahead here. Basically, for today, this is telling you, can you spread today or not? Tomorrow is actually indicating whether or not you'll be able to spread tomorrow or not. So Thursday, likewise, will give you 2 days further ahead. So you can plan 4 days ahead your activities, and that takes into account forecasts for 6 days ahead, because on the fourth day it's using a forecast of rainfall for the two following days to come up with a decision as to whether or not it will be safe to spread. So we're using basically a 6-day weather forecast here, tying it in with information on rainfall and evaporation over the past few days to try and help people make a decision.
As you say, a decision support system. Now, I know this is in development at the moment. Who can access this information at the moment?
Well, at the moment, it has been developed by ourselves here in Metairn with researchers in Teagasc and UCD. At the moment, it's a prototype. It is available for forecasters in the forecast office when they're giving out the forecasts to the general community. And then just the researchers who are involved also have access to it at the moment. But it is just a prototype and it still needs to be fine-tuned to a certain extent.
And will you then release it to farmers so that they can actually just go online and check?
Well, sure. We hope to develop it into a more wider portal web system, which will have more decision support systems than just this one. But that's a longer-term project, and I think it will be at least a year before it will be available generally to the public.
Well, we're back now in the central area forecast office. That was Seamus Walsh. And, of course, he and the researchers in Teagasc are developing similar services for things like forest fires, liver fluke infection and other high-risk events that are influenced by the weather. But back now in the nerve centre, and it's time to see how the meteorologist on duty, Michael Cleary, is getting on. Michael, do you have a picture now from all your data of what's actually happening in the weather around us?
Well, to some extent, yes. There are changes taking place, but they're pretty small, really. As we saw earlier, there's a fair bit of cloud around compared to recent days. And it has been giving a few spots of rain. I think there's been a Mallet Head there reported a shower there at 8 o'clock and 9 o'clock. So the far north is under threat of the odd spot of rain or a shower, but most of the country is going to stay dry.
And you're looking at data that has come in on the charts there.
I'm looking at data that's come in, yeah, and I have data really for about 10 days ahead, but I'm really only interested in the short term. Now, another thing that this duty is responsible for is issuing warnings, you know, to county councils of any severe weather, like our even other people then, like companies for thunderstorms, things like that, high winds. That's not a problem at the moment. The weather, as we say, is relatively quiet at the moment. But to get back to what's going to happen, basically, small changes over the next few days, probably no major break.
When you're trying to get a picture of what's happening in the weather, what are you actually following? Is it air masses? Are you looking at changing temperatures? Is it wind patterns?
It's a combination of everything, really. As I say, in the short term, by just looking at the satellite pictures, you can see what's happening, you know, but say for anything further than a few hours, you'd be looking at the computer outputs. And we have various sources of information. You can see all that, all those charts up behind me there coming from various locations. We have our own charts. We get charts from the ECMWF, which is the European Centre for Medium Range Forecasting. They do a forecast out to 10 days. In-house here, we do ones 2 days ahead.
And that's a wall board that is just covered in meteorological charts of all different kinds. And that's all of Europe, is it? All these charts covering all of Europe?
All of Europe, yeah. Our own ones are probably focused in more just to Ireland and England. You can see these first charts there. They're the HIRLEM, as we call it, High Resolution Local Area Model. That's produced by ourselves here. That's done every 6 hours. We do a 48-hour forecast. As you can see, if you look at it, that shaded area there indicates some rain. And they're indicating there's going to be a little bit of rain there up over Ulster. But then it kind of fizzles out tomorrow, possibly a few bits of drizzle maybe off the west coast, but it's basically a dry picture. Further down the line there, you can see those charts, which is there go 10 days ahead. They come in twice a day, and they give us, that's what we base our long-term forecast on our outlook.
Can you now forecast out to, with some accuracy, 10 days?
We wouldn't be that confident maybe on day 10, but 5 or 6 days ahead we would be reasonably confident. But like, if even on the long-term ones, if they're given the same story a few days, you know, at a time, like if yesterday's forecast is a bit like today's, we'd be more confident. But it's certainly useful information, up to 10 days, yeah.
One quick question just strikes me to ask you. What's your training? Are you physicists? What is a meteorologist in a background training?
Well, we're physicists. That would be our entry qualifications. You have to have a degree in physics or possibly mathematics. But like we're physicists, but we're also communicators because we have to assimilate all this information and give it to the listener or the person who rings up for a forecast. So we're basically taking in all the information and translating it into plain English, or as plain as we can make it, you know, and give the information.
And that's your next task, is to actually now draft a forecast. So we're going to leave you to that job, because before we look to the future, I want to look to the past and some historic weather in the archives here at Met Éireann. And for that, I have to join meteorologist and archivist Conor Daly. Conor Daly, what do you have in your archives here?
We have an archive that runs from weather diaries back in the 1700s all the way up through observations taken by volunteers and by paid observers, right through to minute-by-minute observations in the present day.
So what have you pulled out on the table for us?
Well, I had looked through some of our archives. The first thing we have here is an old... a set of documents presented to us by UCD. It's a set of weather diaries that they had in their paper archives.
It looks like the binding is a little bit more modern than some.
Well, this is a leather binding, but it's a kind of library binding for catching old, you know, loose documents. These are just entries from individuals. There's an entry here on the lightning strike that blew up the magazine of Athlone Castle in 1697.
No, that's actually a modern printed account, is it? Or it's a typed up version of a diary entry?
This is a printed account, yes.
Okay.
Indeed. After that we have a typewritten account of the same event in 1697 in Athlone. First, a dreadful shower of rain, as if a whole cloud had fallen in the street. This being forced by a violent wind made a prodigious noise as it fell. This is the sort of stuff you get in these weather diaries. Someone is describing what happened. It's purely subjective. It's about what they saw. There's no measurements. There may not even be a direction for the wind.
And how does that evolve then as we come through the kind of the next 200-300 years, okay, in terms of weather records?
In those days, these were interested people. They noted interesting stuff about the weather. A bit later on, there was, I think it probably started with the Admiralty, the British Admiralty. Admiral Beaufort required the making of weather observations. This was basically the foundation of both the Irish and the British Met Services. In Ireland, one of the earliest stations was at the Phoenix Park. In this case, it was at the Ordnance Survey offices at the Phoenix Park. There would have been a member of staff, as part of their duties, would have made a once-a-day observation of the weather.
And this would be akin to a modern weather station. They might have read rainfall amounts?
They might have. They may not even have read rainfall in this particular station. I'm looking now at another set of archives. This is from 1833.
And it's the paper is almost disappearing.
Absolutely.
There, isn't it?
These
lovely copperplate entries.
Beautiful. You'll see even better later. In this case, yes, we've a rain gauge. There was an anemoscope, which was some sort of wind instrument. A thermometer, in Fahrenheit, of course. And a barometer in inches of mercury. And these observations were taken each day.
And these are the entries for March 1833.
March 1833, these were at midnight. And there's a column of commentary, which would be just what the observer noted as they go. Now, as you see, these papers are very fragile. They're getting very ragged at the edges. We're about to embark in the next couple of years on a data rescue exercise where documents like these will be photographed, analysed, the data extracted from them and stored. Just a little something here. The Phoenix Park, as I said, our oldest observing station.
Is there still a weather station there?
There's still a weather station there. Okay. The current weather station is a modern automatic weather station designed by ourselves, and it provides minute-by-minute observations. Back here, this is, again, back in 1855. And the observer, as well as noting certain elements of the weather. We have barometer readings, thermometer again. We've got cloud observations, how much of the sky was covered with cloud. There's also a column here on the prevalent diseases. And for February 1855, influenza was very prevalent during the month. There's another column on the arrival or departure of birds, on the leafing, budding, and so on of trees and plants. And again, no leafing, flowering crocus and snowdrops at the latter end of the month.
It's lovely. This is a much bigger ledger now than the first ones we've come on, a generation
exactly.
From that, and much more detail.
Okay, here's another one from Trinity College in the year 1904.
And this is another very big ledger, and I can
another
see it's
huge
much
ledger.
More detailed. We've moved on a bit.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. The observers not only taking down the detail, but also what did they see during the day? For example, a warm morning, cloudy after 8. And this one, a bright meteor seen at Greystones.
Oh, very nice. Because there's actually a meteor shower coming up this Saturday.
Lovely. And here's another one. Now, this is fascinating. Armistice Day, the 11th of November, 1918. This is the official record, hand-drawn maps and notes on the weather of the past 24 hours.
And the notes are headed to Strictly Confidential.
Strictly Confidential, yes, I suppose it was in those days. The conditions at 7 o'clock this morning. There's a deep depression centred near Bodo with a shallow secondary over Ireland. A new depression has appeared near the Azores. Pressure is high over France.
I presume that most of the archives now, obviously, for the last while, is computerised data, is it?
Yes. From about 1940 onwards, pretty much all of our data is held on computer. We've got about 150 gigabytes of data stored. All of it stored in an open format using open source software, which is important for the future of the archive.
And I presume it's growing on a daily basis. Why keep an archive?
Why keep an archive? Well, currently, I suppose the hot topic is climate change. You know, is the climate changing? How do we know? If we look at the old records, we find out both ourselves and Met Éireann and universities around Ireland and around the world are using this data to get a clue on climate change. The other more mundane stuff is the Gardaí want to know how long was that body lying there. We can tell them what the weather was like. They can work out the rest.
So you have intriguing users for your for your data. Insurance companies, things like
insurance
that?
Companies, yeah. Insurance companies want to know how likely an event is to happen, or when an event did happen, how likely was that? Should somebody have been prepared for it, or is this a risk that they end up paying for?
Okay, thank you very much, Conor Daly. That's the historical weather, and I know you've more that you wanted to show us from your archives, but we are up against the clock. And I wanted to get back to tonight's forecast and time for our final check with the meteorologist on duty upstairs, Michael Cleary.
Okay, thank you.
So we're back up in the central area forecast office. Michael Cleary, you've been going through all your data and your information now. What is the outlook for this evening and the coming few days?
Well, as Mary, as you can see, I've just got my sea area in front of me there, so I'm working on that at the moment. That'll be going out at 12 o'clock. We do those every 6 hours. No strong winds anyway, so no problems, no gales or anything like that. As regards the rest of the weather, the big problem over the last few nights, really, with the clear skies has been mist and fog. So probably some mist and fog tonight. But as regards rain, not much. There has been a bit of rain in the north. Still a bit of rain maybe there during the rest of today. But tonight, dry mostly everywhere. Not as cold as recent nights. We saw temperatures down to around zero there recently. Probably not quite so cold tonight because, as you say, there is more cloud around. For tomorrow, another fairly good day overall. Cloudy, but some sunshine as well. Temperatures probably up to 18 degrees in places. There is a threat that, just like we got a bit of drizzle in the north today, there could be a few spots along the west coast tomorrow, but really for most of the country, the fine weather continuing. Then over the weekend, getting a bit more unsettled, probably a bit more rain in the west and north during Saturday, that rain eventually getting across to the rest of the country Saturday night or Sunday.
So a bit of rain over the weekend, sounds like it won't be clear skies for the meteor shower on Saturday night. Michael, why has the weather been so settled of late?
It's been very settled all right, yeah. In fact, there's been practically no rain since the beginning of the month. Basically, it's due to high pressure there. As you can see on our map there, we have this large area of high pressure. It's to the south of Ireland at the moment. It's drifting a little bit further southwards. It's allowing these rain belts to come down from the north. But with more pressure building behind that front again, it's not going to give much, really. But looking on the long-term charts, as we can see there, those other ones, the high eventually does drift away and low pressure starts coming in from the Atlantic. So we see more major rain belts coming in later in the weekend and the early days of next week. So it's basically the high pressure is giving the dry, settled weather. Of course, high pressure means some frost and fog at night. So, but for most people, high pressure is good news. That's going to be drifting away over the weekend. We'll see some rain belts moving in from the Atlantic.
Thank you very much, Michael Cleary, a man who has the future at his fingertips there with all these charts looking forward into the week. And your colleague, Evelyn Cusack, who we spoke to at the start of the programme, has meanwhile been preparing her television forecast. And you'll be able to see Evelyn's forecast after the 9 o'clock news later on tonight on RTE1 television. And that's almost it for this week. Just time to tell you about an unusual workshop that's taking place in Dublin on Saturday, the 5th of May. It explores the links between music and mathematics, and it involves composers and mathematicians from an interdisciplinary centre for music in Paris. The workshop is organised by SEED, an art science network, and you'll find information about that on their website, seedartscience.blogspot.com, and we'll put a link to that from our own quantum website at rte.ie. That's it for this week. Thanks to the meteorologists here at Met Éireann for accommodating us for this special behind-the-scenes visit to the forecast office. And you'll be able to hear a special extended version of our visit and the podcast version on the RTE website. Well, we'll be back next week for the final programme in the current series. But until then, from me, Mary Mulvihill, Slán tamall.